For me, it was about basically disrupting the photography industry, because it just, even now, though, I still see it now, like, so many photographers are like, how do I photograph somebody that's like a size 18, or what do I do with this person that's in a wheelchair? And I'm like, they're just people. Like, what, again, what is the purpose of the photo shoot? To empower somebody. Okay, so ask them how they want to be empowered. That's it. It does, their size doesn't matter. But I get it, because all the education for photographers only shows one body size and body shape, usually. And because of that, our brain shuts off when it does not look like that, because we don't have the representation, which is why I create a bunch of content for photographers to be like, just look at bodies doing the same poses that other bodies do. Like, these bigger bodies do the same poses. It's the same. But I always tell photographers, like, if you don't think that a plus size person can be photographed, then how can they?
Hey everybody, thanks for joining us on another episode of It Was F8, brought to you by Dawn's Photo, where we talk to your local photographers, get to know them a little bit better. I'm your host, Jess Loso, and today we're joined by Terry.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Well, let's get started. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started in the industry.
Yeah, for sure. So I am a body image expert, as well as a boudoir photographer, empowerment photographer. I'm also an educator, author, and speaker. So I'm a person of many hats. I call myself Chase Jarvis's hyphen people.
Yeah.
I am a hyphen person. And so my journey into photography was always as a kid. I would pick up like a Kodak point and shoot that my family had, and I'd arrange kids on the playground like I saw in this year's catalog. If that doesn't tell you where I grew up, then, you know. Growing up in a small town, I was like on a farm and stuff like that. Everyone was like, well, photography's not a job. And I wanted to be a writer. And they're like, well, that's not a job. That's a great hobby. These are great hobbies. So I did photography for fun.
Yeah.
And then I kind of put it aside when I went to university and all that good stuff. But then I went and I lived in Busan, South Korea for 2 years. And while I was there, I got excessively lonely. And so I bought my first big camera, which was like an Evolt 500, like Olympus. Like,
wow.
It's not fancy, is what I'm saying. It was like, I think it was like $700 or something like that was the price. So for me at that time, I was like 18 or 19. And so that was like a lot of money to spend on something that I didn't know how to use, first of all. So I bought this camera and I started taking self-portraits because I had nobody to take photos of me, or I didn't have people take photos of. So that kind of got me back into like doing photography. It was just doing self-portraits and things like that. And then when I moved back to Canada, I was like, oh, I guess I could translate this into being a wedding photographer, naturally. But I was always working another full-time job. And then when I moved to Winnipeg here, I was in Regina, and then I moved to Winnipeg, and I was working for an insurance company. So if you're a creative, you can imagine how much fun that is, being in insurance. And so eventually I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna quit and I'm gonna pursue photography. I had no idea about the business side of things. I had no idea how to do anything, but I just knew that I would figure it out because I've figured out things my whole life. And I was like, okay, no, I'm just gonna do weddings and families and portraits. And then, and so I got into that, and then I swapped photo shoots with somebody who was a boudoir photographer, and I was doing family. So we swapped photos and she photographed me, but all I got back were like headshots, and I was like, what? Like, I have like a 34 inch inseam. I've got beautiful legs. Mm-hmm. Like, where are my legs? Mm-hmm. Where's my stomach? You know? And I realized that what probably was happening was that she didn't know how to photograph a plus size body, or was putting her own body image issues on me, or things like that. Because as I looked around at the whole photography industry at the time, nobody was photographing bodies like mine, or if they were, they were not showing them. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of made me mad in a way that I was like, well, that's dumb. And so I kind of set out to change that. Like, that was my whole thing. So the first thing I did was I did a project here in Winnipeg and in Regina, where I just did a call on Facebook and was like, hey, come in. It's like 5 minutes. There's going to be no Photoshop. You can wear as much or as little as you want. And there's only going to be one shot. Like, that's all we're getting. We only need one shot. And so I thought I'd get like 20 people. I ended up with 75 humans between Manitoba and Saskatchewan, which was awesome.
Yeah, that's a great turnout.
Yeah, and the whole purpose of that was to put all these bodies into one big picture, like one big poster that showed that there's not one way to exist in a body. Like, all bodies look different, all bodies express differently, and things like that. And as soon as I did that project, because, again, at that point, all the photographers were like, well, you can't quit weddings. Like, what... It was like, boudoir's not a job, right? It was the same story that I've been told as a kid about photography. Now there are photographers that were like, oh, no, like, weddings pay the bills.
You'll survive as a wedding photographer and only as a wedding
photographer. Exactly. So I was hearing that same story, and I was like, okay, maybe. But obviously, I don't like to listen to people. But what happened was, when I did that project, I got all these emails back from the people that participated saying, like, oh, my God, you don't even know how much confidence I have just from doing the thing. They hadn't even seen the photos yet. And they're like just coming in to have a space to tell their story or take off their clothes or whatever it was in a safe space. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, this, there's no other place for me to go. Like, this is where I need to go. And so I essentially stopped taking weddings, rebuilt my website so that it was geared towards boudoir. At the time, that's what I called it. Now I call it empowerment photography, but like everything I do, everything changes along the way.
What do you avoid?
Newborns. Detest it. I did want, and it was terrible, so I felt bad for the baby.
It's not your way of connecting.
Yeah, no, not at all. And then they're just like bags of sand. And so, like, there are people that are really good at that job, but I would rather spend that 3 hours with a woman that I can connect with, or a human, I guess, now, like, that I can connect with and say, like, let's talk about really deep stuff. Like, let's talk about your childhood trauma. You know, let's talk about your body image issues that you've had for your whole life. You know, like, that to me is where I would rather spend my time than trying to deal with something that doesn't want to be dealt with.
What's one area of photography you'd love to delve into?
I would like to be good at underwater photography, because I can't go underwater without plugging my nose. So, like, I have to, or I just hold the camera and keep my head above water while I try to photograph.
Would that be, like, strictly underwater, I guess, the wildlife underneath, or would that be another facet to take boudoir photos?
Yeah, like, I would like to submerge humans and photograph. I've tried. I almost drowned two people. They're fun.
Can you swim?
I can swim. It's just I have to plug my nose because I'm a baby.
What's your go-to gear or favorite piece of equipment?
Ah, sure. So I shoot mostly Canon gear because I always have aside from my Olympus back in the day. But I realized, like, I love photography with my Canon 24-70 2.8, just because I love being able to get, like, wide compositions. When I shoot outside, like, I love shooting outside in nature and stuff like that. So I love wide landscapes, but then it also has enough distortion that it can look very cinematic. And I actually ended up trading in. I had all the Sigma lenses that people are like, you need these for boudoir and portraits. So I was like, yeah, I'll buy them. And then I never use them. I always use my 24-70 because, again, I like to move fast. And so I can do that with a 24-70 instead of, wait, let me change my lens, you know, and stuff like that. So that would probably be my go-to.
Do you have a dream piece of equipment?
No. Not overly, I don't think. I'm not a huge, like, technical kind of person. Too much. Though there is, like, one of the reflector that goes like this. I don't know what it's called. It's like an eyelighter, I think it's called. So it, like, sits in front of the person. And so it's more for branding or headshots, but it brings, like, all the catch lights and puts all the light back into the face. Okay. I don't shoot a lot of strobes, or I do shoot some, but more so just for creative stuff.
Okay.
So I would like it for that.
Do you have a favorite place?
Well, I have my studio right now, but I'm actually probably letting it go next year.
Okay.
Mostly because I couldn't foresee signing another 3-year lease on it, because I am teaching more than I am photographing clients at the moment. But we'll see. It's so beautiful. And I made it into like a really, I wanted it to be a space that people felt super safe to come into. It's full of like beautiful energy. And it's playful. There's lots of like fun wardrobe, lots of fun sets, I think. And I always get to change things around, which is, my husband explained when he walked in, he's like, oh, it's like if you were a room, this would be it. So it's like a very good personification of myself, which is kind of cool. But I also love photographing out in nature, basically anywhere I can. And in fact, the like least pretty places are my favorite. Of course, every photographer says that, actually. We're all like, I love abandoned stuff. Like, I love broken stuff and make it beautiful, right? Like, we're such... it's funny. Because every photographer does it.
It's
we're
like inner hipster comes out.
Right? Exactly. You're like, oh, I see beauty where nobody else sees it. And it's like...
American Beauty, right?
Yeah, exactly. We're artists. But it is true, because you're like, look at what this is what you see, but this is how we see it, right?
Yeah.
We see like the perfect ray of light coming through something, or and so I'm not tied to any one specific like location, because I think you can literally make any location look bomb.
What's your favorite photo and why?
Oh, I don't think I have a favorite, because every new one is like a favorite one, right? So, I'm trying to think if there was a photo I took of my parents back when I was in Korea. So this is before, like, while I was like getting back into photography with my Evolt 500. But we were at like this botanical garden when they came to visit me, and I was like across the pond, and then there was these rocks that went across, and they were like standing on the rocks looking at each other. And so my sister and I were like over here, and they were over there, and the light was coming behind them. It was backlit. There was like a lagoon, so there was like lily pads, the trees. It was like
magical.
It was magic.
Yeah.
And so I snapped the shot, and I even remember my sister saying like, holy like, that's a beautiful photo. And I was like, yeah. And then that's when I decided to do weddings.
Really?
But I was like, cool, I'm good at this. I also have self-assurance.
What's your ultimate photography goal?
I don't know.
I feel like you're already kind of embarking it.
Yeah, like I do like setting goals. Photography wise, like as far as who I'd like to photograph or things like that, I would love to photograph Lizzo. Would be amazing. I would also love to get all the like fat activists that I follow and all the body image people that I follow. I would love to do a huge group shoot with all these glorious bodies and personalities and just like get them all together and just like be like, you're all amazing. That would be fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have a crazy story related to photography?
No. I will say I did double book a wedding once, which is why I no longer do weddings. And it almost made me throw up. But this is a good lesson, okay? So, number one, make sure you have your contracts in place. Number two, make sure you have people that you can rely on that can help you out in a pinch. Number three is fix the problem, then cry about it. Do not be like, oh God, oh God, oh God, and just like go into hiding. Fix the problem and then go into hiding.
Fight or flight. So that kind of ties in with the last question.
Oh, actually, I have better advice. Oh, if they can they see that I have? I have the questions. So it's a piece of advice looking to get into photography. Do your cost of doing business. Good Lord, I waited 2 years, it's the genre that I'm shooting now, before I did my cost of doing business. And if you are trying to run a business, understand that it is 5% photography and 95% business. You better be, if you really want to be an entrepreneur, then you are an entrepreneur, you are not a photographer. And those are two very different jobs, because you have to be ready to ride the wave and understand that there's no exit ramp when you're an entrepreneur. There's no like, oh, I made it. No, you just go to a new level. And as they say, a new level, a new devil. So you're always learning stuff, right? And so, yeah, you gotta like that it's constant challenge. So you have to be resilient enough to handle constant challenge. Will it be kind of consistent? No, It won't. Because if you're an entrepreneur, you're looking for growth.
Yeah.
If you're a photographer, you're just looking to create. And that's fine, too. Neither is right, neither is wrong. I just think it's expectations. Set the expectations with yourself. But do your cost of doing business, especially, I find, particularly with female photographers, because we undervalue our work. So whatever you think you're valued at, pick a number that makes you sick, because that probably is actually closer to your actual value. That's what I tell people. But also, after you've done your cost of doing business, how much does it cost you to wake up and go do a photo shoot? Because your emotional brain is going to be like, oh, but you love it. Oh, no, don't charge for something you enjoy, you silly. You need the facts that say, listen, every time you do a photo shoot, it is costing you, you know, $800 or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You cannot do it for less than that. So what are you doing?
We're going to play a game.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it's catchphrase.
Okay.
So I'm going to say one word, or I'm going to
help you're going to describe word. It and I have to say it?
Yeah. So just one word to be able to describe it without using the actual word.
Okay.
And then you get to do one
thing. Okay.
Okay. So
behind. Behind what? in front? Off of the game?
It is, no, it's, they're all photography related.
Oh, photography related.
Yeah, so.
Tripod? Behind the scenes?
No.
No.
Well, no, because it wouldn't
say, yeah, that's right.
Behind.
Behind. Backdrop? Background? Backdrop stand? Lights? You keep looking over here. Behind
creative
director's chair.
I can't use the word
cameraman.
No,
photographer.
Dark
room. I don't know.
Backlighting.
Oh, backlighting. Oh yeah, no, I've never.
No.
Let's hope this one's better. Let's see. So you would do this in video and not to be and to move across a frame.
Panning?
Yeah.
Okay, lighting.
Oh, equipment? Wait. Lighting equipment? What? Strobes? Constants? Lights? LED lights?
Diffusing.
Oh, softbox?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, so if you have a doorway and you put somebody in it, what are you doing?
Framing?
Yep.
Yay! Why did I get the hard first one? Okay, so you get to choose from this cup. It is photography pens.
Oh, I love pens!
So when you're ready, you can look right into that camera with all of your conviction.
I think my pet crocodile is an amateur photographer. He's a bit of a snapper.
All the conviction. There it is. Terry, thanks for coming in today.
Ah, thanks for having
me. Super fun. And until F8 brings us back together, we'll see you next time.